So this session is called Workflow Deep Dive in Project Online and Project Server 2013. My name is Beatrice Ambrose. Everybody knows me as Bia, so if it's easier for you to remember that way. I'm a senior software design engineering test. It's a long title, but essentially I'm a project tester. A little bit about me so that you know, you kind of get a feeling of whether you want to sit in this session or you want to go to a different session. There's lots of good ones. So I don't mind, you can go ahead and. So a little bit about me, I work in this domain for about 10 years. I started back in the UMT. I worked on the portfolio manager, and part of that I worked on the workflow feature. So you're gonna hear me talking about the workflow throughout the session, and I apologize for all the duplication. I joined the UMT as part, I joined Microsoft as part of the UMT acquisition. And I started working on workflow again. So back in 2010, I was working on the Visual Studio workflow, and I actually demoed in the 2009 conference. I don't know if anybody went there, but I was demoing how easy it is to create workflows in Visual Studio for 2010. And we've heard feedback that that's not really easy, at least not everybody's a developer. And so for the next release for 2013, we worked with the SharePoint Designer team to make sure that our workflows can now be created in SharePoint Designer. So back in 2013, I didn't quite want to work on the workflow in the beginning, so I wanted to take on something different. I took on the OData, so if you have questions on OData as well, I can pretty much answer that as well. And then the workflow person left, so I took it again, back to my first love workflow. So that's a bit about myself. And a little bit about the session. So I'm going to try and cover the business process. I know Stephen Hayden had a session in the morning, so I will try not to repeat myself if you've already been there. I'll talk about the workflow component. I'll talk about how to develop workflows. If you already have a workflow in 2010, you can continue to use that. It's supported. You can create new workflows in either SharePoint Designer or Visio, or you can, again, create new workflows in Visual Studio as well. And there's a little bit of difference there. We are not using code workflow. We are using declarative workflow, so I'll talk about that when we get there. And then in the end, if you are a customer that's using online, you don't need to know anything about the fourth slide, the fourth tile here. So if you want to leave at that point, I will, again, I won't be offended. So the workflow architecture is supposed to cover on-premise only, and it should help you, like, give an idea of what you need to know. So if you want, I can give you 1 minute to think about the other sessions. Okay. Okay, I guess you're convinced. Okay. So the business process. And I'm going to talk about a little bit about why you decide to choose workflow. And actually, yesterday, we had the Ask the Experts. So in the lunchtime, we had the table arranged for everybody to come ask questions for workflow. And somebody, and I don't see her in the audience right now, and I don't want to give any names. Somebody came and said, I am given a project, and I start opening up Project Professional, and I start creating my tasks. So how would I use workflow for this particular job? And then my question to her was, how do you know what project to work on, right? You don't always start with this. You don't always start with the Gantt chart. Somebody has some sort of an idea, right? So you have an idea. You don't know if you have enough money for it. You don't know if it fits in your corporate objectives. And you don't know if it's more important than other projects, right? So the way workflow will help you with is automate a business process that's going to help figure out which ideas to implement. It's going to make the project flow through that particular business process. And then it's going to be able to help you drilling down into the project and customizing the experience. So for different workflows, you will be able to customize it for each individual stage, how the drill down looks like. So if I go to an example, and this is the example that I took back in 2009 in the conference when I was showing the Visual Studio workflow. It's the same thing, and what I did is just take that example and see if I can try and put it into SharePoint Designer. And I was able to do that. So I'll go through that. So you have an idea. It requires money. So you're going to need that idea to be approved. If it doesn't get approved, you can move it to a canceled state. Or you can move back to the light bulb there, which is back to the first stage where you collect more information or so on. If your idea is approved, it moves to this execution stage where you're going to start working on your schedule. You're going to put actuals and resource assignments and all sorts of things like that. And when the project hits 100% completion, it moves to a finished stage. Okay? So in a more workflow diagram-ish way, this looks kind of like this. So it's the same thing that I described, but it's in a visual type of look, if you want to think about it this way. And if I click one more time, I'm going to show you this picture right here is exactly the SharePoint Designer workflow that I have created, and I'm going to show you when I get to that point. I'm seeing just the same type of steps, but in a visual format. So you'll be able to now, in 2013, you'll be able to go and talk to your analyst and say, if you don't know anything about SharePoint Designer, you can create your workflow in Visio, and all I have to do is import that Visio diagram into SharePoint Designer and then continue with my actual workflow development. So the interaction between the person that's creating the workflow and the analyst is pretty easy. And also the analyst can start doing that as well. So I'm going to try and go through the demo. I'm going to use an Office 365 tenant, so keep your fingers crossed. Okay, so I did a lab yesterday and the day before for... on how to get started on Project Online and workflows worked. So let's try our luck today. So I'm in Project Center. I'm going to click on New. And I'm going to see here a list of all the enterprise project types that have been created for this particular session. So I'm clicking on, I want to create the workflow Contoso sample workflow. OK, so I'm going to give it a name. I'm going to hit it save. So at this point, based on the enterprise project type that I have selected, if the enterprise project type was associated with a workflow, it's going to create a workflow instance for it. And I don't want to bore you with details if you already know all this. So I want to get a feeling of who in the audience knows about workflow. Great. So I'll try and like move fast through all the small details, and then I will go more into the advanced information. So I'm into the workflow status page. I can see my current status. I can see the list of all the stages. You'll know all this. I can see the additional workflow status data. And this is from the SharePoint list. And if you are working with Office 365, this page is going to be your friend when it comes to debugging the workflow. So you use the workflow history list is going to be your one and only option to debug in Office 365. So use it wisely. So I can see here the workflow status. In my case, it's waiting for input. I'm going to go to the project detail page that says that it's incomplete. And I'm going to fill in that it needs some funding. And I'm going to save it. And then once it's saved, I'm going to move to the next stage. So at this point, based on the workflow that I have created, it's going to try and figure out what needs to happen in the next stage. And if I click on the workflow status page here, and I do a refresh, okay. So the project is now in the lead approval stage where it's waiting for approval. And the way you can approve workflow tasks, you've done this. If you've done this in 2010, you were able to receive an email. You click on the email link, and then you edit the task, and then it moves to the next stage. The other option that we added in 2013, which I'm not sure if you all know about, is in the approval center here. There is a button called Workflow Approvers that should take you to the same place. So I should be able to come here and see all the workflow tasks that are submitted for this particular demo. So I'm going to go here and say I want to approve this project. Okay. And then you can see the status is approved and my workflow should now move to the next stage. And this is all the email notification, which I should have turned off. But I basically, what I did is I associated my Office 365 account with my Microsoft email address. And whenever a workflow task is being created, I actually get an email. So you can use it like that as well. You don't have to use the email address specified in your tenant as well. All right. So if you see here, I'm now in the execution stage. And I'm going to show you something regarding the 100% completion that needs to happen. So what I did is, behind the scene, I created a loop, and I'll show you when I get to the SharePoint Designer part. So I'm going to create a task here, and then I'm going to set the percent complete to 50%. Okay, so I'm going to publish this. And then as soon as it's published, I'm going to close the project and check it in. So what I did is, in the workflow, I specify that every time the project is checked in, check the workflow, check the percent completion. And if percent completion is not 100%, keep waiting until the next check-in happens. All right? So I'm going to close this one time just to show you. I actually logged it to the history list so you can tell exactly what's happening. So if I come here and I do a refresh, okay? So I said I'm waiting for check-in. Project check-in has happened. It's 50% complete, and I'm waiting for check-in. So now if I go back to my project and I hit 100% completion, I need to edit it first. So I hit 100% completion, and then again I publish. All right. And then I close it again. At this point, it will say, "Okay, it's 100% completion." So when I check it in, it's going to move to the next stage, which is the finish stage. So going back to the workflow status page, I hit refresh here. And you can see here the project was checked in, and it's not waiting for the check-in to happen anymore. It moved to the next stage. So going back to the project now, okay, you can see now that I'm in the post-mortem stage. All right? So I'm going to switch here back to my slide deck. So a quick recap, I created the project, I sent it for approval. If it's approved, it's going to the execution stage, it's waiting for 100% completion, and then moves to closure. Okay? So I'm gonna go ahead, if you have any questions, you raise your hand. So the workflow components, I've seen many hands up, which means you all know about them, or about these ones. So I'll go really, really fast. So I kind of created a workflow for creating a workflow. So you start in PWA development, you create the enterprise, you create the custom fields, you create the PDPs, project detail pages, you put custom fields in the project detail pages. You can add custom wear parts if you want to do so. You create the stages and the phases. You move next, you create your workflow in either SharePoint Designer or Visual Studio or Visium. You hit next, you go to PWA again, and then you create an enterprise project type with that particular workflow, and you start creating projects from them. All right? So I was going to demo how to do this, but I'm assuming everybody knows how to do that, so I'm going to continue. Okay. So I'm going to move next to the workflow development. All right? So the key components for the workflow development, if you remember back in 2010, we were dealing with project site workflows. So I put here list workflows as well for the one reason for which we enabled the ideation in 2013. So in 2013, you can create if you have a regular SharePoint list, you can create a SharePoint workflow. So it has nothing to do with project. However, we created an action that you can put in the SharePoint workflow that says, if this particular idea, which it's an item in a list, if it's hitting some percentages or like some approval or something good is happening to that idea, you want to move this and actually create a project from it. So you start from the SharePoint list, and then you, using the SharePoint workflow and our activity and our action, it's going to create a project in a Project Center. Okay, so that's why I put it here. This is the site workflow. And then, okay. And then the other key component for workflow is actions and activities. How many of you know the difference between action and activity? Anyone? Would you like to take a shot at it? I don't want to put you on the spot. If you don't, no worries. Okay. So the easiest way to explain it, and it's the activity is like a small component, is an atomic component of the workflow, and that's where the execution happens. Most people like to use activities and or like to use to talk about activities in the context of Visual Studio. When you talk about SharePoint Designer, you want to show the user some user-friendly UI. You don't want to ask them to put GUIDs and all sorts of things like that. So the way I would describe action is kind of like a wrapper of all the activities. You can have one or more activities coupled together. And the action is just a wrapper that exposes it to the end user in SharePoint Designer. Okay? So, and if you think about it like from the developer perspective, the action would be kind of like the header of a method, and then the activity would be the execution, so the code that's happening inside the particular activity. So a list of actions that we have available in SharePoint Designer. So the set project fields and feeds and the stage status. We are waiting for some events. There's three events that we are waiting for. Include this stage for those of you that are familiar with skip to stage. So you can restart your workflow at any point in time. And if you use this include this stage, it will skip through certain stages so that you avoid different approvals that you already went through that you don't want to go again through. Lookup actions. In SharePoint Designer, we wanted to give, as I was saying before, we wanted to give the users the ability to just find the data from project instead of putting in the project GUID or the custom field GUID and all sorts of things like that. So for that, I'm going to show you in the demo how you can get to the project data. And then the list workflow action is what I was saying before about how you can upgrade an idea into a project. Okay, and as part of the activities, there's workflow 4.5 activities and workflow manager. On top of that, there's the SharePoint activities, project activities, and you can create your own custom activities. The one thing that came up yesterday during the Ask the Experts was, if I create my own custom activity, can I make it available for everybody to consume in the SharePoint Designer? And the answer is yes. I'm not 100% sure if it's actually possible online, but I need to double check with the SharePoint team, and I will follow up with that if you have any questions. Okay, so developing workflows. As I was saying before, the Visual Studio workflow in 2010 is still available in 2013. On top of that, we added the SharePoint Designer experience. You can still use new Visual Studio workflows. And at the bottom, I have an example of the Visio diagram that you can see in SharePoint Designer, and you can also see it in Visio as well. There is one integration between SharePoint Designer and Visio that happened in 2013, which is if you have both of them available on your computer. So if you have both the SharePoint Designer and the Visio Professional on your computer, you can use you can open the diagram and look at the diagram inside the SharePoint Designer. All right, so demo. Okay. So I'm going to open SharePoint Designer here. And this is basically the workflow that I demoed. Before I do that, I'm going to quickly go through how to create a new one. Does everybody know how to create workflows in SharePoint Designer? So I don't have to start. Okay. So you just drag stages here. You can find them over here. We automatically detect if you have new ones. You just have to sync here, and then you'll be able to find them. So my first stage, I'm saying I'm waiting for input. I'm setting the stage starter to wait for input, and then I fill in some information. I'm waiting for the project to be submitted. So these are the three events that you can wait for in that we created for you. If my project needs funding, then so you can see that everything here is coming from, and I'm going to show you, this is the lookup that I was talking about. So you have inside SharePoint Designer, you have access to project data. So if I click project data, you're going to see a list of all the project fields and that we made available for you, plus the custom fields that you create. All right. So if it is approved, then I'm moving to the lead approval, else I'm going to execution. So if it's a simple project, there's no need for approval, and I'm going to go to the execution. You can decide the logic, you can decide for yourself. The lead approval, in the lead approval stage, here there's two options on how to do the approval. One of them is if you want to send an approval to only one person, there is what's called a task approval. So let me show you here the two options. So when you go to action, there is, under task actions, there's assign a task, which is assigning one task to one person and it's waiting for its approval. The other one is starting a task process. So if you want to send a task to multiple people and wait for 20% to be complete, then you can use this particular one. In my case, I want it to be as simple as possible, so I just created a task, assigned it to my program manager. You can customize the body. You can, again, here is how you assign different people. You can customize the body. As you can see, I'm actually inside the body of the task that will be created. I'm using project name. I'm using a project owner display name. So all this information is given to us by in SharePoint Designer. I want to wait for the task to be complete before I move forward. I also set it for overdue, so you can customize your approval task. This is not the one that I'm showing right now. It's not something that project team has developed. It's a SharePoint specific action. But because we are essentially a SharePoint workflow, we can benefit of the approval process. So we didn't have to create our own. We are inheriting from them. Okay. You can say, if the person does not approve it in 2 days, please send him an overdue email and all sorts of things like that. And you can customize the outcome options. So by default, this action comes with approved and rejected. But you can say, I want more information, I want all sorts of things, and then you can use it that way. Okay. And this particular result is going to go into a variable, which is the outcome one, which I'm logging as well. Go ahead. Are we talking about? Yes. So going to the execution stage. This is the thing that I was thinking might be interesting for people if they have not tried yet, was basically I'm going to wait in this loop, and this is something that they built in 2013. SharePoint Designer team has done this. So they have a loop with condition here. So I'm saying I'm going to stay in this loop until the percent complete, while the percent complete is less than 100, okay? So it's going to, I'm logging to the history list. I'm waiting for the project to be checked in. And then once it's checked in, I'm going to write down the percent completion. So clicking on this, you can customize the workflow history the way you want to, the logging to history the way you want to. So I'm writing down the percent completion. So the loop thing is basically, it's not something that's being executed continuously. So what happens, because it's an event-based, it's basically saying I'm going to subscribe for an event, and it's going to stay in the subscribe for the event until that event is being fired. So there's no execution happening. It's just kind of in a paused state. And actually, that's a good question, because the previously in the 2010 workflow in the SharePoint infrastructure, you would see lots of problems with the weights and stuff because of the fact that they didn't have all a good messaging system and firing up and all sorts of things. Go ahead. That's a good point. So the stage that you are in is defined here. Sorry. Somebody asking me to work more. So I thought I killed this, but it does not want to. Okay. So you are asking, so the stage itself is determined by this block, the thing that you're asking in this one here, right? And this one, let me show you how you see it in here. So it's going to be showing in the all workflow stages in this particular state column. So let me, I can try and create a new one. Let me try. Sorry, I should have brought a mouse. I did not do that. So basically, if you look at the options that you have in the status, it's basically you have an option to say the workflow is waiting for input. So all this information that I'm putting here, I'm putting it for the end user. So from the workflow creator perspective, it doesn't really matter. But the user that's looking at the workflow status page needs to know at all point in time what they have to do. And the way you can communicate what they have to do is by setting the status saying, I'm waiting for input, so please fill in this custom field. Or I'm waiting for the approval process to happen so that the person doesn't keep hitting the submit button to ask, like, why isn't this workflow proceeding? And then the workflow processing, this I would say most time I use it for if I want to update a custom field from within the workflow. So I want to say if, I don't know, something happens, update the location to Bucharest. I'm from Romania, so go ahead. Let me add that. So before I do that, let me show here first before we move to the next question. So right now, if you look here, it's saying it's in progress. And in brackets, it's saying waiting for input. If I'm putting none, it's just saying in progress, and then doesn't affect the current status that it's already there. So none is basically, I don't want to communicate anything about the state of the workflow, but I do want to update this information. So if I just want to update the information, I use none. OK, so now if let me come here, and I will add the process one. So action, and you want to start a new process, right? And you want to add some users. So let's pick here some users. Yes, I can put administrator. So this way, it will send to all admins. I think in the sample proposal workflow we had for the 2010, it was sending to the team leads. So all team leads will get an email, and then they would have to approve it. So then the next thing you can configure is either serial or parallel. So if you want to send it to you, then after you approve, send it to the other person and keep going like this. Or send it to everybody. And if I choose everybody here, I will be able to say the completion criteria. Go ahead. That's a good question. I would have to follow up on that. I would assume it expands the group before creating the tasks. So I would expect that it's in serial. I'm sending to all admins. You both are admins, so it's going to send it to you. I think not. Yeah, I think it's not going to work. Multiple groups, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, no, that wouldn't work. So, I'm not sure I hear you. So. Yes, so it's waiting for all responses, or it's waiting for the first response, or for a specific response, or percentage. Like if I want 30% of the people to respond, then if they say reject, then you can use it like this. So this was the question. And then, so I'm here, and then if it's approved, then I continue. We were here, sorry about that. So the loop that I was talking about is basically it's waiting for check-in. Once the event is fired for the check-in, then it's moving to this, and it's done. The one other thing that I was thinking might be interesting, I didn't show it in the demo, but we can do that if you'd like to do that. So once a project is canceled, we wanted to send an email to the project owner saying, your project has been canceled, so that he's always aware of that status. So. And it's really easy to do that. I'm just sending an email to the project owner name. We provide that for you. So you can do it like this. Okay. So this was the sample proposal workflow. But what I'm going to show you now is something more interesting, I hope. So I'm going to call a REST method through. One second. Okay. So I'm going to edit the workflow. So what I did is I created a small workflow. I didn't intend it to be like a big process, but rather a showcase for you to look at. So what I'm going to do is, if you're familiar with Office 365 programmability model, you can only use CSOM through OAuth, through OAuth authentication, to be able to call and get data and update data to your project tenant. Was there a question? So what I did is inside the workflow, we provide you with some actions, but those actions may not be enough for you and for your business process. And for that, you should be able to use this call. Let me expand this. I'll show you where you find it. So call HTTP web service. So I'm going to use that. I'm going to make a JSON call. So I'm going to build a dictionary to append the header for that JSON call. And then I'm going to extract items from the dictionary. That's basically the result. And I'm going to show them to you here. So the way I do that is I'm just basically creating a variable here so that I can log it to the history list so we see exactly what kind of call I'm making. I'm going to use the current site URL. And you can do that as part of the workflow context. So if I click here on Add Change Lookup, I can see current site URL. Right? And then at the end, I'm going to append in. How many of you are familiar with CSOM? A few people, okay. So I'm going to append API project server project. And then at the end, I will say for which project, which is going to be with my project grid. It's going to be for this particular project. So the demo here is very simple. It's just going to extract from project online. It's going to extract the name, the last saved and last published date for the project. Okay. So just to show you how that looks in here. Okay, so what I did is I opened Firefox, and I set Firefox to be able to send me to make the request based on JSON, and you're going to see something that doesn't look very pretty here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy this, and I think I copied it before. So I have this JSON viewer. You can paste your data here. You can download it. It's a free online tool. It's not ours. And then you can click on Viewer, and you can see the data nicely shown here. And inside the result, you're going to be able to find the name. You'll find the last saved date and last published date. Okay, and these are the ones that we are going to extract. Okay, so I showed you the URL. I'm going to log it to the history list. And the way I specified that I want a JSON call to be made, I create a dictionary. Let me show you how you. So it's just build a dictionary here. So I'm creating a dictionary, and I'm going to call it accept. And this is how you specify I want to make a JSON request, and then all the data verbose. Okay. And the result of this dictionary, I'm going to store it in the request header. It's just a variable, so you can type any variable and you can create it here. Then I'm going to insert that call REST API. So call HTTP web service is called. And I'm going to use the PS URL that I have defined previously. So clicking on this, you can specify it here. I'm going to use an HTTP GET. I'm not writing anything back, so I'm just going to use it to read information. I haven't tried the writing, but I'm assuming it's just a CSOM call, so it should work. And then the way I specify how to use JSON is clicking on the properties here. And then in the request header, I'm going to select the variable that I have created previously, which was here. Okay. Then the response is going to go into this new variable. And from the variable, I want to extract. So the variable itself is like a dictionary, and you can't just write data to the history list like that. So you have to extract it. And the way you extract it is just saying get item from the dictionary. So I'm saying from response content, get something like this. And this is just free form. You just type whatever you want. And if you remember, I was showing you this here. So if you say D and then slash, and then you can put the whatever properties you have under D. If you request, for example, give me all the projects, you're going to have here multiple results, and you have to say D slash results of blah, 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 right? Okay. So back here, I'm parsing all this information, and then what I do is I log it to history list, and again, you're going to see the none thing because I don't care about the status. And I'm going to write project name is, and if you look here, after I extract it, I write it to project last save date, project last published, and project name. And I want to write this all the information into both project status information and workflow status. Okay? Any questions so far before I show you how it works? No. All right. So I'm back here, going to Project Center. Okay. I'm going to click on Projects. New, and then I'm going to click on BRC SOM. Okay, so I'm going to create the project. I'm not waiting for anything, so it's just going to finish. But you can take the piece of code and put it in any workflow you want. And this hasn't been blocked yet. I'm going to do that after the project conference, so you don't have to remember everything. So if you go down, I think I have, okay. So if you look at the workflow history list, I'm writing down what's the URL that I'm going to make, right? So it's going to be, let me copy it here so that I'll show you that this is for real and I'm not faking anything. So I'm going to come here, and I think I'm actually logged in with a different tenant, but let's see. So I was using two tenants in two different farms to make sure if one goes down, then I'm not totally lost. So let me see. I can show you in here how it looks, but it's not the same thing that I showed you before. Let me try it this way. Okay. So in IE, it looks kind of like this. It's not, when I did it in IE here, it didn't make a JSON request, so it's just an XML that's being returned. So if you see the name of the project is CS1, last save date is blah, 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 38, and then 06 here, and then 183 here. So if I go back to, where was I? Okay, so I was here. So the name of the project is CS1. It was last save on 06, and then published on 183. So going back to here, if I click refresh here, you're going to see that the workflow stage status has also been updated with the same information. So I just put it in both places to show you that you can use it in either way. And if this comes back, you're going to see that. So do you have any questions so far? I've seen at some point somebody was asking, the workflow history here doesn't persist, so if something happens, then you won't, like, if somebody restarts the workflow, then you won't be able to see what's happened, right? Or if somebody moves back to a previous stage, you lose kind of the approval process. So what I've seen people do is use CSOM to basically call into a outside list somewhere in SharePoint that you use to store the information. So you use that to track all the history of the what happened to that particular project. In the back and then in the front. That's a good question, and I can talk about that. I think Steven also talked about it in his session, but yes, I can tell you that. And if you have see some specific question, I can answer now. If not, dynamic list. Where would you store the dynamic list? You would have, I think out of the box, you wouldn't be able to get to what are the team members, you mean the build team people? Yeah. So you would be able to make a CSOM call to say, give me the, I'm not 100% sure, but I think they would be able to give you the resources that are available in that particular project. So you make a CSOM call to read that information, and then you use that to create some sort of dictionary, store it in variable, and then you can use the variable to feed it into the approval process. Yes, yeah. Actually, in the if you look at the participant list, you can, let me, I think I might still have it. So if you look here in the participant list, there is a workflow lookup for user. And then you can say, I want to use a workflow variable, and then you can use, like, you can create your workflow variable, and then you can use it here. Yep. Yep. You can use custom fields for project and. I think I didn't save it the way I fixed it later on. Yeah, let me actually show you. So let me double check if I have it here. Ah, I don't. So you, I can tell you after that what's the, I forget the page that's used to redirect, and you would should probably use that. If not, you would go to. Let me drill down into a project, and I can tell you how to do that. So I'll be able to take this URL here. And then this one is just an email, but I'm going to use it to showcase what I'm talking about. So instead of the first piece here, which is my tenant, my PWA URL, I would cut that, and I would add the workflow context current site URL. Okay. Then you're going to use project detail page, workflow status, blah, blah, blah. And instead of the project UID, you're going to use your project UID. So in the project data, there is project UID here. So you say, now you can go to this link to see more information about your project. Okay. You first. Custom property, I'm not 100% sure now. I don't know. I would have to follow up with that. So if you want, write your question down, and I will promise I will mail it back. Who else was? If if the queue is, what's the scenario behind it? How do you want to use that? So I. I don't believe that the workflow can help with that, but I do believe that we have remote event receivers, and I'm not 100% familiar. I see Alex going like this, so you can talk to him about how you can do that. So we have event receivers on premises, and we try to create something similar for Office 365 as well, so you should be able to connect to any type of event that's being raised in projects online as well. So I will, it's a good question you're asking. I have it actually in my best practices slide at the end, but I can talk to you about it now. So when we all know that the project works on a check-in, check-out mechanism, right? So in order to update any information in the project, you need to check the project out. You need to fill in some information, and then you have to save it and check it in back, right? So the way you do that, and I think the reason for which people are having some trouble with this is because the stage that the project is in when this thing needs to happen is not marked with the checkbox that says it's check-in required. So if you mark that checkbox, and I can show you where to find that if you don't know how to do that. So I go to PWA settings, and in the stage definition, and by the way, this is for if there is anybody that doesn't know how to get to the components of the PWA site, they're here. So if I click on idea collection, for example, the scenario is I'm in idea collection, and as soon as I exit this stage, some custom field needs to be updated, right? So you go all the way down here, and there is a section that's trying to describe what the project check-in is required means. So what this will do is when you hit submit, the first thing that it will check is if this checkbox is checked for this particular stage, it's going to check in the project, then it's going to do all the updates that, so the workflow continues, does all the updates that need to do, and then it checks the project back in and checks it back out to the user so that he can continue to work on it. So I would say the most used scenario or the most problems we have seen was when people did not check this checkbox. But if you have a scenario where you did check the checkbox, I would like to know about that. The other thing that's interesting about the project check-in and the updates of the custom fields, we don't do any bulk updates. So if you want, as part of the check of the workflow, to say I want to update custom field A, B, and C, we don't do checkout project, update A, B, C, save and check it back in. What we do is check out, save, check in, check out, save, check in. And you keep doing this until all your custom fields are done. Yes, when you hit submit inside the project, so I'm in the project, I fill in the information, I hit submit. At that point, when the workflow is woken up, it says, I'm in stage whatever, I'm checking this checkbox, and if it is checked, then I'm going to check the project in, do my thing, and then goes through the process. But if you have a scenario, I would like to talk to you about it after the session. Okay. It rotates for a while, and I think there is no other I don't know how to say, like another visual thing on how it would tell you that there's something happening in the workflow. You're going to see at the bottom, I think it's going to say something like workflow is processing. So it's not, the user can't do anything as long as the workflow is processing, but there's nothing else that. So what you can do to help with that is in the workflow definition in the SharePoint Designer, you would log to the stage status. You would say the project is going to be checked in. And don't worry about it. We'll do all the workflow things that need to happen, and then it should be back to the user. I think I have seen a few times, though, when the project did not get checked back to the user, checked out back to the user, and then the user needs to go in and check it out themselves. So I did see a few of those issues. Yes. Especially if you have multiple things happening in the queue, yes. So that's when the things happen. So if it takes a long time, then the chances that it will be checked out back to users are not that high. So that's why we kind of recommend, if you do have a need for a bunch of custom fields to be created, updated at the same time, maybe you can consider doing your own custom activity and do bulk updates of everything and take care of it that way. Anybody else? Okay. So I think I, let me see if this thing. I think I was in the project, so I was going to show you where it was right into history. But then I moved, so. And then, again, for the people that may not be familiar with SharePoint Designer, after you create your workflow and you check, you can check for errors. I have not seen many useful errors, but you can try it. I apologize for that. And then you publish the workflow, and then it will be showing up in PWA. So this is what I was talking about, the workflow stage status. Now shows the project is CS1, last save, and last published date. So I'm going to move back to the presentation. All right. And then, so to recap, you've seen site workflows. You were able to reference project data. Most actions that are available from SharePoint within SharePoint Designer, we can use as well. You can call REST web services and parse the result. And then you can check for errors and publish. The one thing, and I should have shown that now, so since you asked, so the one thing that you were asking is, how do I make this template available to? So if it is, if you want to make the template available within the same tenant, within the same PWA site, it's just available there. So you can use it for, like, one workflow can be used by multiple enterprise project types. If you want to use it across tenants, what you can do, and this is a trick that Stephen told me about, and I didn't know about, which is really cool. I was able to create multiple tenants having the same workflow. So you can export to Visio. So there's a button here to say export to Visio. And I don't think I can import it because I just did that the other day. But once you export, it creates a Visio file. And then you can use that Visio file to say, I'm going to import. Let me show you how to do that. And there's a few tricks that you need to know again, but it mostly works. I'm here to teach you tricks. That's the session. So I saved this. If you see, it's just a Visio drawing. Okay. It might take a while because my workflow is pretty big. And then if I go to workflows, and then I want to say I want to import from Visio, from 2013 diagram. I can choose this, and when I open, it will open. Let me try it. Let's see if I break anything. Because I have the workflow already in my tenant, so I'm not sure how it will work, but let's try. Well, it does not want me to do that. Blah, blah, blah. Do you want to overwrite? Oh, it wants me to overwrite. So if I had like a brand new tenant, then I can actually, I have a few more tenants. If you want, we can do it at the end of the session. So when you try to open it, there's the tricks that I was telling about, and this is again something that Stephen would be able to tell you more about. But it's you would have to make sure that after you import, you set the project workflow tasks and the project history task correctly, because it doesn't get set automatically. The other interesting thing that I've seen was the custom fields. If there are lookup tables, they may have trouble. So you basically need to make sure that you do the association properly. And one thing that I totally forgot about is you need to have the same stages in all the environments. So even if they had multiple, if they have different GUIDs, it's still fine, because when you try to import the Visio diagram in here, it will say, I don't know any stage with this GUID, but I do know a stage with this name, so it will be automatically matching and it would work fine. And again, I can tell you this works because I just did it for my two tenants, so I have both data in both of them. The only problem that I had was with the custom fields and with the list that was not working. And of course, this is just what SharePoint Designer can do, but you can package workflows, you can create workflows in Visual Studio if you're comfortable, if you're a developer, if you want to do that. You can package the custom fields, you can package the enterprise project types within the workflow package, and when you take the package and you deploy it to different servers, I can talk to you more about that in the next slides, but once you deploy the package, the workflow is getting installed and the metadata gets created, and that way it matches and it doesn't. There's no problem after that. Okay, but that's Visual Studio, and we are here to tell you that SharePoint Designer is easy. So, I've been told to do that. All right. So, okay. So for Visual Studio workflows, I'm going to go do a walkthrough. I might be able to go to my machine and show you in Visual Studio, but I'll just use the slides for now. So the one thing that you need to know is, even though, let's say you are working against a tenant in Office 365, you would not be able to create your workflow within Visual Studio directly connecting to Office 365. So there are some ways. I believe Bill Avery from our team had a session in the morning where he kind of shows how to be able to do that, but the guidance is to have your own on-premises environment where you put SharePoint, Project Server, the Workflow Manager, I'm going to talk more about that later, and the Visual Studio, and you can use both 2012 and 2013 on your on-premises box, and of course the Visual Studio 2012 if you don't have it already in the 2013. But basically you create your on-prem environment. You can create your workflow in there, and then you'd be able to package it. So let me show you. So I'm creating a new, again, I'm opening Visual Studio. Think that this would be like a real demo. SharePoint Designer can only give you what we configured for you out of the box. So if you go, so I think the best idea would be go back to your company, see what your business process looks like, and then see if we can do that in SharePoint Designer. We tried to cover most of the scenarios. I'm usually more of a customer scenario-oriented tester than a regular technical tester. So I tend to think about it from, okay, what would the customer do in this situation, right? So you go back and then you see, does SharePoint Designer fit for my need? And if it does not, then you'll have to do that in Visual Studio. So, and some people don't have the developer and then they decide to just stick with what SharePoint Designer can do. Okay, so I go to Visual Studio. I create, if you look here, once you install everything that I told you to install, you can create an empty project here, and then you have to choose to deploy it as a sandbox solution. So one thing I forgot to mention, and that's really important, was in 2010, when you were creating Visual Studio workflows, you were doing it via code. So you would write C# or whatever type of code you wanted. In the 2013 workflow environment, because we are using the workflow Azure, we are using the new type of workflow model, we have to use the declarative workflow. So for our purposes, you're not going to deploy it at the farm level, but you're going to deploy it as what's called a sandbox solution. And this is not project specific. You can read more about it from the SharePoint workflow infrastructure. So once I'm adding that project, I'm going to add a new workflow. And then as part of the workflow wizard, it's going to ask me, do you want to create a list workflow or a site workflow? For project server specifically, you'll have to choose site workflow. Okay, and this one is going to create a SharePoint site workflow. So I'll tell you at the end of the whole clicking, I will show you how you differentiate between a SharePoint workflow and a project server workflow in context of the site workflow. The other thing you'll have to do to get started, and this walkthrough is also blog posted, so you don't have to remember all this. And that's why I didn't even want to do a demo. I'm like, there's already something out there, so. But I wanted to tell you about it. So you have to, once you create the project, you won't be able to see our activities on your left nav, so you'll have to go through these steps to put your activities in Visual Studio. And then, you end up into something like this, but it doesn't have anything inside. So there's a sequence activity that is not ours. We want to remove that and add the flowchart, which is the big one here. And this is where you will design your workflow diagram. Then you're going to drag and drop the activities you need. And as you can see here, I have two sequence activities that are basically, one is for the idea collection and one is for the execution stage. So if you drill down, there's lots of drilling down. I'm not really fond of the drilling down experience that they have now, but they decided that's the best way. So this is the sequence. And inside the sequence, I'm entering a project stage. And you're going to see here that's a little bit more complicated than in SharePoint Designer. In SharePoint Designer, you just put the stage and you're done, right? Here you have to say, I'm entering a stage and I'm leaving a stage. And inside here, you're going to have another sequence that's going to say, what's the stage logic? And you can put whatever activities you want in here. I chose to put a wait for project event. And the way you differentiate stages, or the way you say what stages you're going to use, you have to put grids here. And this is something that we did in SharePoint Designer that we did not do in Visual Studio. What you have to do is, after you go and create your stages in PWA, you have to copy the URL. To copy the grid from either the URL or the bottom of the page, and then paste it in here. And the other interesting thing is, for this wait for project event, there is no drop down, so you'll have to make sure that whatever you type in here is what we expect you to type. So you really have to know what you're doing. Yes. Yes. So this goes back to the previous question on how do I deploy from environment to another. If you just create your workflow, it's not going to work, which is correct. So the way I would recommend using it is, create another project as part of your solution. And in that project, you would like to call, we should probably have another blog post about this as well. Basically, you should create your workflow phases and stages and whatever custom fields you need. So you just make like CSOM calls, essentially. And then you wrap the workflow and the CSOM calls into a solution. And then once you deploy that solution, and when you activate it, it's going to activate and create all the workflow stages and phases and all sorts of things like that. And it's going to activate the workflow as well. Okay. So now I was talking about how you differentiate a SharePoint workflow from a project workflow. And you do that by using this WS event source grid, which is very... As I said, I'm a customer-oriented tester. I'm not a developer. So when I see this, I'm like, why don't I just use SharePoint Designer? So there's a specific grid, and the blog post talks about that. It's going to be something different, and you have to make it look like this. You have to also add these four rows here. And then you're going to save it, publish it, and do all sorts of things. So to recap, you have to manually add project server activities to the toolbox. You have to hard code the entity grid. You have to use workflow chart and sequence activities. So every time you want to have two activities in a row, you have to use a sequence. You have to remember that. And then you start developing your workflow, and this is the blog post. And you're going to have access to the slides and the talk, so that should be okay. Any questions? I have more about the Visual Studio, which more content which I've hidden. But if you have any question, I can show you. Go ahead. So let me see. So in SharePoint Designer, you're able to read and update custom fields. You're able to set the stages, which is of course okay, and you have access to people inside the Project Server. So you can like interact with like sending emails to them and all sorts of things like that. Here's a common question that came up recently was, how do I, from within the workflow, build a team and so that people will get assigned to different tasks as part of the workflow, right? That's something we do not have. You're not going to be able to be doing that in SharePoint Designer. So the only things you can do is interact with custom fields, interact with people. If you want to interact with resources, portfolio data, anything like that, you would have to either decide to make CSOM calls, and our CSOM offering is pretty small, so you can go and read about that. I'm not sure. Compared CSOM to PSI, we still have long ways to go. So I would say, back to the first question, first step is figure out your business process, see if SharePoint Designer can do that. If not, see if CSOM can do that. If not, go to Visual Studio. Okay? It's the same workflow. It's our activity. The code is the same for us. So basically, what you see in SharePoint Designer is just a wrapper of what Visual Studio can do. Yeah. Yep, that's what I'm saying. Because it's the same. It's basically the workflow definition is a XAML, essentially. It's not a DLL. When you compile, it's not going to be a DLL that you need to deploy. So it's a XAML. It kind of looks maybe a little bit different than the SharePoint Designer XAML, but it's the same thing. And basically what the workflow status page that you're talking about is doing is reading the workflow definition, reading the current status, and figuring out where you have to go from there. I hope it's not. We have 7 minutes. Okay. I see people, they know it's coming, workflow architecture. So. Any other questions? Go ahead. I can. Anybody interested in the workflow architecture? If not, okay. So, workflow architecture. So basically, what I'm going to show here is whatever you have seen, if you went to the SharePoint Designer Conference or if you've seen the demos, it's the same thing. You need a project server and SharePoint box. You need a workflow manager. The workflow manager is storing the definition and the instances that are being created for that particular workflow. The service bus is taking care of all the messaging that's happening back and forth and the queuing and all sorts of things like that. So you need, and I'll talk a little bit about how you can configure this one in the next slide. On the project and SharePoint infrastructure, there's a workflow service application proxy and the service manager. And they're communicating back and forth with the workflow manager and with the service bus using this workflow client. And that workflow client needs to be, yeah, I know it's like this. That workflow client needs to be on any SharePoint server box. So if I have an environment with 5 boxes and only a workflow manager box, and I can talk about the topology in the next slide, but you need to make sure you have the workflow client configured on all of them. And this is a free download. It's not, you just need to make sure it's up to date. So the workflow service managers deals with the deployment of the workflow, with the events. So there's like SharePoint and there's project server events, and they interact with it through the service manager. They are taking care of these instances. And there's the interrupt here. So if you're using 2010 workflows, as you can see at the bottom, at the top, there's a section in the workflow service managers that know how to deal with the workflows. So if you want to continue the 2010 workflows, you don't have to set up all this. Okay? So they communicate with each other with the API through REST OM. And then on top of that is the authentication. Okay? And as soon as you have that, you can use SharePoint Designer or Visual Studio too. I didn't put Visio here because you still need SharePoint Designer even if you start in Visio. So now when I talk about topology, there's two different ways on how to configure that. So as you can see here, I have an example that has three different machines. So you can think about it this way. I can put Workflow Manager on all these machines, right? And then there's a load balancer that's going to go from one another if needed. The other option is you can have a workflow cluster with Workflow Managers here. And then you can have multiple SharePoint farms. And this is if you have like a huge company. Okay, so if I have multiple SharePoint farms, they can all consume the same Workflow Manager. And this is something that like we know, we've heard lots of feedback that the workflow is not performing enough and it's running under the W3WP process and like it's slowing everything down, right? So if you do it like this, it's going to help you like process it faster and not affect the actual user interface, okay? And any questions for the topology? We have, so Project Server has the concept of stage, and because you saw that in SharePoint Designer or in Visual Studio, we also have stages. So we, from the Project Server perspective, we kind of store a copy so that if something bad goes with the workflow instance, we have a copy of the stage that you're in. So we don't know anything about the workflow, but we know the stage that you're in. So if you want to restart the workflow and go to the same stage, for example, you would be able to do that. But there is a concept of stage in both of them. How to? Sorry. Yeah. So what I'm saying here, I just compacted everything into one slide. But like, there's a whole talk about that from the previous SharePoint conference. There's a new one. There's like blog posts and articles and all sorts of things. I just wanted to give like high level, like million rows up overview. So the authorization, and this is, I wanted to cover this as well as part of the workflow architecture. So, and I like to give an example here. So as I'm saying, the workflow manager is communicating with the project server using the server-to-server app model. And here's the example I'm talking about. So I went in my honeymoon, I took my pictures, and then I uploaded them to Flickr, right? And then what I want to do is I take my pictures from Flickr, and I want to print them. And I chose Bartel Drugs. Not everybody's going to be familiar with that, but you have your own custom local store that can print stuff. So I say, Bartel Drugs, can you please print this pictures, A, B, C, but not like D, E, F, for example, right? And then Bartel Drugs goes to Flickr and only accesses those particular pictures only for my account, so it won't take Steven's account. It won't take any pictures from his account, right? It only goes to the pictures from my account that I authorize him to do, right? So the way workflow works is similar, and you can actually go to, if you go to your Project Web Access site, and this is, I can show you that if you're interested, but if you go to site settings, there's a site app permission, and you can see here workflow as an app that is actually authorized to do operations as part of the workflow process. And it's not going to do more operations than the user itself will be able to do. So I won't be able, through workflow, to say, delete this resource if I don't have permissions to delete the resource, okay? I tried to make nice visual, but any questions? Okay, so the recap is you have to set up your workflow manager. There's multiple ways on how to do that. And then you have to keep in mind the authorization model, okay? And this is the workflow best practices that I was talking about. So, okay, I've seen how it works. Now I want to get started. The number one thing that we hear from customers is this does not work. And the number one problem for that is the user profile. So even though Project Server may not need anything from user profile, the workflow engine needs to interact with that. So what you need to do is basically, one is enable your user profile. Two is add the users, like updates, like email addresses for the users and all sorts of things like that. And three is let those users go to my site. I know it's like complicated, right? So they need to go to my site in order for the work. So if I want to send an email to you, right, it's going to have to know what email address to send it to. And the only way they can do that is using the user profile. That's the explanation. Okay? But keep that in mind. You're going to need it, I'm pretty sure. And if you're online, actually, that's another point. So on-prem, it's easier. Online, it's not difficult, but you have to remember that that has to be done at the tenant level. So you have to go to the tenant admin site, and then there's a user profiles, and you go for each individual user. And if you're doing AD sync, it's great because you can have email address and all sorts of things. If not, you have to do it manually, like I did. Okay. So you get started, you start writing it, and this is you are asking about the stage status. So the none thing, that the option that you're talking about. What I'm saying is, when you develop your workflow, you have to think about who's going to consume that workflow. And you have to let them know at each point in time what you're doing. Because if not, they all get frustrated and they're like, I don't want to use the system, right? The second thing was about the workflow that needs to be, the project that needs to be checked in if you want to update the workflow. And if you have more feedback there, I would like to talk to you about that. Okay? And then how you tested. The numbers, the second thing that is a problem that we've seen was people would start creating the project server environment with the workflow. And then they are using this, I'm logged in a system account, right? And then I'm trying to test my workflow. So I create my workflow, I'm happy, it's one person working on the environment, I didn't add anybody else to it, so I'm going to try and create a workflow and test it. And that's not working. And the reason for it it's not working is the system account does not have permission to do OAuth calls, so it cannot be configured. So what you have to do is, once I set up my environment, I create an admin, or create somebody, that I can then use to create workflows and test them with, okay? And then the second part, as I'm saying here, log to history list is your friend. Online, that's the only option you can use to debug your workflows. And I actually, as I was saying, like I hid so many other tips that you can look. But basically, in the workflow status page, and I can show you here if my computer didn't do. So in the workflow status page, the other thing that you can do is there is this in the internal status. If you click on this, if there is any problem, you're going to see an error message. And actually, I can show you. So in the error message, you won't be able to do anything with it except for call support. But it will have a correlation number, a correlation ID that you will be able to give to the support person and say, my workflow is not working. This is the correlation ID. And they can pull up the logs and see what's the problem in your form. Okay. So in summary, business process improvements, you can now use Visio and Visual Designer to interact with your business analyst. Workflow components is pretty much the same. I put them here so that for people that don't know what the workflow is about, they have to do this part. Develop workflows, you can use SharePoint Designer, you can use Visual Studio to create that. You can continue to use your existing workflows that you have been created in 2010 Visual Studio, in Visual Studio for 2010. And then from the workflow architecture is now different. It's cloud ready. The only way you can configure and benefit from that is using the workflow manager. So in the one thing that I wanted you to leave with is project workflow can now be created in SharePoint Designer 2013. There's more content here that I know the sessions have already been over, but if you look at the recordings, these are the three things that I would recommend as part like an add-on to the session itself. Some references, and if you need my contact information, this is it. So, thank you.